Please be seated and hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Joel. Return to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God with your whole heart, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy. I do not think that Chris knew or realized when he asked me to preach this Ash Wednesday service. I do not think he knew the great significance, the great importance that Ash Wednesday and Lent has for me in my life. For there is a sense in which I came into Ash Wednesday by the back door. I count myself among the very blessed to have been raised in a Christian family, to have been raised in a rich Christian tradition that loved Jesus and taught me to love Jesus. I will forever be thankful for Christian parents and faithful pastors and teachers who taught me the way of Jesus. And yet in that rich Christian tradition, we went straight from New Year's to Valentine's Day to Easter Sunday to Mother's Day to the 4th of July without any sense of holy time. We did not pause to reflect, to reorient our lives, and to ponder the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we might more fully embrace the good news of the resurrection and new life on Easter Sunday. But in 1994, some of that began to change as I received a phone call from a sales representative of a Christian publishing house, in which he asked me if I would be interested in leading my church that I pastored to lead them in 50 days of spiritual adventure. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Adventure. I'm in for adventure. And I said, tell me more about 50 days of spiritual adventure. He explained, well, it will be where you as a church, in those 7 weeks before Easter, he did not use the word Lent, in those 7 weeks before Easter, that you together will focus on reorienting your life, on daily Bible reading and prayer, in meeting in small groups, learning some new and yet old spiritual disciplines, and in serving one another. I thought, for 7 weeks, yes. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good, but let me talk to our leaders. I presented to our leaders this idea of 50 days of spiritual adventure, and they said, you know, that really sounds biblical. That sounds pretty good, that every day we're going to set aside time to read God's word and to pray and to reflect and to meet together and to serve. They said, let's do it. And that 50 days of spiritual adventure in 1994 was a very significant season in the life of that church and in the life of their pastor. And as I began to read more about 50 days of spiritual adventure, I thought, you know, this sounds quite a bit like Lent. In that season of spiritual adventure, I learned new spiritual disciplines that were really, in a sense, old. For instance, I learned the daily God hunt, where every day we would go looking for God. And at the end of the day, we would reflect back on how we saw God in our day. That became very powerful for me and for many people. I did not know at the time that that was really Ignatius of Loyola's daily examine, where at the end of the day, we reflect back upon where we most experience God's presence. I can say that at the end of those 50 days of spiritual adventure, that I had an increased awareness of God's presence in my life. I had a deeper love for Christ. I had a greater desire to serve Him. That in those 50 days of spiritual adventure, I kind of reoriented my life and sought to focus on those things that are really important. Dwight Eisenhower was a 5-star general. He was a supreme commander of the Allied forces in Europe. He was the planner of D-Day, the 34th president. And Dwight Eisenhower said that he learned through those years that the things that are important are seldom urgent, and the things that are urgent are seldom important. And I learned in those 50 days of spiritual adventure that this is a time to focus on those things that are really important. Aren't we oftentimes oppressed by the tyranny of the urgent? These days ahead of us are a time for us to focus on those things that are important. I know in Lent we oftentimes think of it as a time in which we give things up, but you know it's also a time in which we take things on. We take on maybe that one or two things that would most enhance our walk with Jesus Christ. Just one or two things. And we let go of that one or two things that perhaps is taken away from our walk with Jesus Christ. It's what my friends in the 12-step groups, they talk about. Just find one small thing and do it. And that makes a big difference. Several years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity to have dinner with Chris Webb, who was then the president. He was the president of Renovare, which is a great ministry of spiritual formation and teaching in various spiritual disciplines. And Chris told me that night, he told me, as he is from England, he told me about a time in which they had Take Your Child to Work Day. And understand that his father was an officer on the HMS Exeter, which meant taking his child to work that day meant taking him out on the HMS Exeter. And he got to go up into the bridge with his father and to stand there before the wheel of the ship. And the captain commanded him, he said something like, turn 3 degrees starboard. Chris turned. And he didn't sense that anything had really turned, and the captain explained to him that 3 degrees turn starboard, if you keep on going in that direction, is the difference between Bermuda and New York. Lent is a time, I think, of spiritual adventure in which we make that turn. It may not seem big to us, but we make that turn. And we keep on going. My friends in the 12-step, find that small thing to do and do it in this season of Lent. And so that 50 days of spiritual adventure was so meaningful in my life that here I am 20 years later writing daily devotionals for Lent. I learned how important it is for us to set aside time each day to read God's word and to reflect and to pray and to learn a new but old spiritual discipline. And so we did that 50 days of spiritual adventure, and I realized that I had never been to an Ash Wednesday service. I did not know what an Ash Wednesday service was like. And so I got out the directory and I found a church that had an Ash Wednesday service, and I went there. And as I listened to the scripture readings of Ash Wednesday, I thought, now I understand Ash Wednesday. Because I understood in the Bible that when someone sits in ashes and dust, that they are marking a specific time in their life. They are marking a turning point in their life when they realize, I don't want to keep on going in the direction that I'm going. And they sit in the ashes and dust. And we call it Ash Wednesday. As we realize that there is evil in the world, and we look at our hearts, and I look and I see things that I do things that I don't want to do. I love things that I ought not to love. And don't love things that I should love. And I say to God, I don't want to keep going in the direction that I'm going. Sometimes people say to me about Ash Wednesday, well, I don't know that I really have anything to repent of. And I don't think that that's necessarily a numbness to sin as it is not being aware of how incredible God has created us to be. In a few moments, we will come forward for the imposition of ashes. And, you know, it's not just dumping ashes on your head. The ashes speak of our sin, and the cross speaks of the Savior who takes away our sin. If someone today sees you and the ashes on your forehead, and they say, well, what's that on your forehead? You can say, the ashes say that I'm a sinner. And the cross says that Jesus cleanses me. The ashes say that I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I should be. But the cross says that God so believes in me that he is making me the person that he wants me to be and that I want to be. Hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Joel. Return to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God with all your heart, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Amen.